Auto Lane.
Let's have some fun. Let's go.
And BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
Welcome to Hour 2 of the game. Tyler Dreiling, Mitch Fortner with you for the next hour. MHS basketball, both the boys and girls in action at Junction City tonight. You'll be able to hear that on NewsRadio KMAN.com with John Kurtz on the call. K-State women's basketball coming up for you later tonight from Bramlage Coliseum, taking on number 19, Oklahoma. Go ahead and check out Bramlage tonight and hear our own Mitch Fortner behind the mic doing PA tonight for the K-State women in this hour. We'll talk to Cole Manbeck here in just a couple of minutes about K-State basketball, both their win over Texas over the weekend and hosting Oklahoma State tomorrow. We'll also go around college basketball, an update on the first weekend of the K-State baseball season, which was definitely a success, and we'll finish it off with You Can't Be Serious. To start off this hour, I want to let our listeners know about a special guest that we are going to have on tomorrow's... we interviewed him earlier this afternoon, and you'll be able to hear the interview on tomorrow's edition of the game, and we'll also play it during Powercat Game Day as well. Oklahoma State head coach Brad Underwood joins us tomorrow on the game and on Powercat Game Day. Had a chance to ask him about the emotions of returning to Manhattan and if he has heard some of the noise out of Manhattan and from K-State fans about how upset they were, really more at K-State than at him, that he had accepted the job at OSU before this season. Some interesting answers from the head man of Oklahoma State, and you'll be able to hear that tomorrow in full here on News Radio KMAN. We're now joined by Cole Manbeck, our Powercat Game Day blogger. Cole will have plenty of discussion about K-State and Oklahoma State coming up here in just a few minutes. But first things first, K-State does beat Texas in Austin over the weekend, 64-61 on a tip-in from DJ Johnson with 1.6 seconds left. Did that win do anything for you?
No, not really. It's a game that Kansas State had to win, obviously, but, you know, a game that they should win. And obviously in the past, the last couple of years, they've lost games that they should win. In those instances. So in that case, yes, but in the larger grand scheme of things, I don't think it does a lot for K-State in terms of helping its RPI or anything like that. All you're really doing there is holding ground, because if you look at K-State's RPI, it didn't go up at all from that victory, even though it was a road win, which tells you how bad Texas has been this year. So you're just kind of holding serve there. You can't have that bad loss. That's really the one thing K-State has going for it this year, is they haven't had a bad loss to go on their NCAA tournament resume. And so they've been okay there. But as far as, you know, that swaying me to thinking things are solved with this team or that they're going to get on a roll, I'm not to that point yet. And I probably won't be to that point until it would take a win for sure tomorrow against Oklahoma State to get me there.
I think that a lot of fans probably feel that same way, and that kind of brings me into my next question. You know, we're getting closer and closer to an 8-10 or 9-9 squeak into the tournament type of season for K-State. How far would that really go to quiet the program's skeptics if that's what we're looking at for the end result for the Wildcats this year?
Yeah, it's a good question. I've given it some thought, and, you know, There's always going to be critics out there for Bruce Weber, just what's gone on the last couple of years, and then, you know, just the inconsistencies game in and game out in the program that has occurred over the last three seasons. But to answer your question, look, I mean, if they go 8-10 in the Big 12 and they get into the NCAA tournament as maybe an 11 seed or a 12 seed, they're in the play-in games, like along those lines, they lose the first round in the NCAA tournament, then I think the large portion of your fan base is still going to be pushing for Bruce Weber to be ousted and a new head coach to be in place. Because, you know, let's look at it. If they get 8-10, you're looking at a program the last 3 years that's finished below 500 in league play, coming off six seasons where they were above 500, finishing in the top four of the conference almost every season. So that's just not going to be good enough, in my opinion. Now, if they get to 9-9, let's say then win a conference game in the Big 12 tournament, go to the NCAA tournament as a 9 seed, they drop a game, I think he'll be back. But I think a large portion of the fan base, the talking point is always, you know, he hasn't won an NCAA tournament game in Manhattan, and K-State fans kind of gotten spoiled with that because Frank Martin never lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament during his time at K-State. And so I think it's big for him to get to at least 9-9 in the Big 12 and then also to win an NCAA tournament game. I think that'll silence some of the detractors.
Okay, so you think that 9-9 and getting to the round of 32 would at least get the majority back in Weber's favor in terms of him returning for another season?
Yeah, I really do. I think there would be still be a good chunk of fans that aren't satisfied, but I think well more than 50% would be in favor of him coming back at that point. So yeah, I think those are kind of where the standards are. But you know, the concern is the question mark's going to be going into next season. Will they be any better than a bubble team again next year? And I think it's a legitimate concern when you don't have DJ Johnson and Wesley Iwundu coming back. I know you're going to have some other guys with another year under their belt. You get James Love back from the redshirt year. You get Cartier Jarrett back, who I love. I mean, I think Cartier Jarrett's got potential to be a tremendous player. He was one of my favorite recruits over the last couple of years that K-State's brought in. So I think that certainly helps, but the question marks are still going to be there next year, you know, and being a bubble team. And so there's going to be detractors still, but 9-9, win an NCAA tournament game, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, and that probably would it would look especially good in comparison to the fact that K-State went 5-13 in the league last year, which, again, I mean, that falls under Weber as well, but going from 5-9 would at least give you a little bit more faith that things are heading in more of a positive direction, at least. That's how I would look at it. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think what you do then is you start to get the confidence back in some of the players in the program, and the culture starts to change a little bit by getting back to that 500 mark or better in league play and getting to the NCAA tournament again. Because I think that's really what's needed to change over the last couple of years, is getting the culture restarted and going in the right direction. So I think that would be certainly a step in the right way. The one thing that I have heard over the last few days, and I don't like this talking point, is, you know, the talk of, you know, if he finishes seventh in the Big 12 standings, and they were projected to be ninth, well, he exceeded expectations, and therefore that's a positive. And to me, that's not, because he set the expectations with the team that he's built, and that's the reason they were picked preseason ninth. I don't like preseason polls in general anyways, but, you know, I've heard that talking point kind of thrown around. And that's something that I'd like to squash.
Well, something that's kind of along that same cloth that I want to ask you about from the Texas game, and then we'll move on to the Oklahoma State game. But that was the third Big 12 road win for this team. And if they are going to get to the NCAA tournament, it means that they'll have won at least four, since they have two left, one against Oklahoma and one against TCU. Is there anything you can really take from that, actually being able to be not just a competent but a pretty successful road team this year?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's been one of my big criticisms over the past few years, is the inability to win on the road. Look, they hadn't won more than two road games in a season each of the last 3 years, I believe. And so now to come into this year, you've already won three league games on the road, two of which very solid opponents with Oklahoma State and Baylor. I think that's certainly a plus. If you can get that fourth road win either at OU or at TCU, and that's certainly a positive. Now, obviously, the negative is they failed to protect home court, which you can't do in this league. And you look back on it, you know, if you just protect your home court, I would say two games that they really needed to come out, play well and inspired, and they should have won on paper. I think they should have been able to beat Iowa State at home, and I think they should have been able to beat TCU. And if you take those two wins and add them right now to K-State, we're not even talking about them as a bubble team. I mean, you're talking about a team in the top four of the league contending for, you know, right there with Baylor, Iowa State, and West Virginia with five Big 12 losses. K-State would have six. So that's the disappointing thing, is that they haven't protected home court. But on the road, they have been surprisingly solid this year.
Talking right now with Cole Manbeck, our Powercat Game Day blogger, looking ahead to tomorrow's action. It's actually kind of funny, because it is a really, really big game, no matter how you slice it, for K-State. It's their toughest remaining test, or their last chance before the Big 12 tournament to get a top 50 victory. They really need to hold down the home court in this game. But at the same time that all of this is going on, the bigger story, I think, is Brad Underwood coming back to Manhattan. So I'll start with that. What kind of reception do you expect tomorrow in Bramlage?
Well, I think he'll get a very loud ovation. He'll be very well received. Brad Underwood's very well liked among K-State fans. He's got a special personality. He's a tough guy, hard-nosed guy. He's everything that K-State fans love. So I think he'll be very well received by the fan base when he steps out on that court. And it's an interesting question you pose because, you know, we were just talking about what's good enough for Bruce Weber this year to return next season. Look, there is an ample amount of pressure on Bruce Weber tomorrow night. And he might not be thinking about it. I'm sure he's not. You know, he's just thinking about winning that game. But if he loses to Brad Underwood, even though he's already beaten him once this year, if Underwood comes into Manhattan, wins his ninth out of his last 10 games at OSU, wins in Bramlage Coliseum, you know, really puts K-State at serious risk of missing the NCAA tournament, then I think, you know, Bruce Weber's in serious trouble, and the fan base will really hammer him. Losing tomorrow night, albeit against a very much improved Oklahoma State team over the past few weeks. But there's pressure there. And you know Brad Underwood wants this game really bad because John Curry did not hire him when he had the opportunity to. And I'm not talking last year. Bruce Weber is still here. I'm talking about when Frank Martin left and Brad Underwood didn't get the job then that he wanted. So, you know, he wants to stick it to K-State there. He loves K-State, but he would love nothing more than getting a win tomorrow.
It's I don't want it to be, but it's certainly trending in the direction of awkward would be a word that I would use to describe what it's going to be like tomorrow night.
Yes, it definitely will. It'll be an interesting environment. And then after the game, you know, we see the Twitter meltdowns that occur on social media. It'll be very interesting to monitor that after the game ends, whichever direction it goes, whoever wins. So that'll be something to monitor. But look, I think it's a game that K-State will come out motivated to play. And I expect them to play well. And I would expect K-State to win the game. Now, I said that about Iowa State last week, and they came out flat. But I think they understand clearly what's at stake right now.
Well, it's going to be a fun one. Before we let you go, Cole, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about the X's and O's of this matchup. Oklahoma State, as you've mentioned, winners of seven of their last eight. They've started to turn things around on the defensive end, and that's led to their recent success. What does give you confidence that K-State wins this game?
Well, let's start with the keys that K-State's going to have to do well to defeat the Cowboys. And Oklahoma State, we seem like we talk about this every week. K-State has really struggled to defend the three-point shot this year. That's no secret. And Oklahoma State is the seventh-best three-point shooting team in the entire country at 41% from beyond the arc. So that's challenge number one. Challenge number two, you got to keep them off the foul line. They're in their top 10 in the country, and free throw percentage is 77%. Jawan Evans really, you know, is really good at getting to the free throw line, attacking you in transition. Okay, so it's going to have to get back and defend in transition. The other key, I think, is, you know, I think K-State can go inside against Oklahoma State. One of the things here is that they're a very similar team to the Wildcats and that they're not, you know, an overly sized team. They don't have a lot of height. Mitchell Solomon is much improved in the interior for them. So I think one of the things you want to do there is get the ball into DJ Johnson and try and get Solomon in foul trouble because they really don't have a guy that can truly replace him in the post. And then I think that takes away advantages on the inside that Oklahoma State might have in case they can really dominate. That's where I like K-State's matchup. I think DJ Johnson and Dean Wade can really have a field day against Oklahoma State on the inside if K-State truly commits to pounding the ball in there and then pounding it on the glass.
It'll be a fun one for sure, Cole. Really appreciate the time this afternoon. Enjoy the game tomorrow to the greatest extent that you possibly can, and we'll talk to you maybe this weekend.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Tyler.
That is Cole Manbeck, our Powercat Game Day blogger. As I mentioned at the top of the segment, we will be joined on tomorrow's show and on Powercat Game Day tomorrow by Brad Underwood. We had a chance to catch up with him earlier this afternoon, and he had some interesting things to say about his return to K-State, the emotions involved, and if he has heard some of the noise from the K-State fan base about them wanting him to be in charge of the program right now. We're going to head to our first break of this second hour. When we come back, we'll go around college basketball. And speaking of former K-State coaches, two of them are mentioned in Around College Basketball. One for a positive, one not so much. That's coming up next on The Game.